Amen. We're just glad to be here this morning. And again, we're happy to see Brother and Sister Blanson back. We thought we had to go to Missouri to get them, but they're back, and we thank God for it. Amen. I'm thankful this morning for the participants in our devotional. Amen, Brother Wyatt, with a marvelous invocation. Amen. Brother Jeremy, great for a beautiful reading of the scripture. Brother Rutledge was getting his praise on this morning. Yeah, he got his praise on this morning. And Brother Sperling for a magnificent prayer. If you have your personal copy of the world's bestseller, I want to call your attention to the book of Acts. The chapter is 2, Acts chapter 2, and I want to commence reading at first verse. Acts chapter 2. And begin the reading at verse number 1. Acts 2, beginning with verse 1. If you have it, say amen. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes, Elamites, and dwellers in Mesopotamia, in Judea, Cappadocia, in Pontus, Asia, in Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt, in parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed, and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. But these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And verse 12 again, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. But these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. I want to use that text, and I want to preach from the subject, even though I know the marquee says that these men were not drunk, but the actual subject is, these preachers were not drunk. Can you say amen to that? These preachers were not drunk. Now, when we look at the word drunk and drunkenness, the Bible has a lot to say about drunkenness and being drunk. When we look at the definition of drunk, it means to consume, too much alcohol, and it affects one's movement, it affects one's behavior, it affects one's speech. And also, it is possible to be emotionally drunk. And that is, one is emotionally intoxicated while judgment is impaired. For example, you might hear somebody say someone is drunk with power. Yeah, you can get drunk on power. Is that all right? The Bible has a lot to say about drunkenness, and it is never good. Being drunk is not a good thing. In the book of Job, in Job chapter 12, about verse number 25, it says, they grope for light in darkness, and they stagger as a drunken man. In the book of Psalms, Psalms 107, about verse 27, it says, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and they are at their wits' end. In Proverbs 23 and verse 21, it says that gluttony and drunkenness will bring a man to poverty, and drowsiness will reduce one to rags. When we come to the New Testament, Romans chapter 13 and verse 13, it talks about walk honestly as in the day. Amen. And not rioting or being filled with drunkenness or chambering or wantonness, and not in envying and strife. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 about verse 10, Paul talks about a category of sin that would keep one from going to heaven. He says that envy and covetousness and thievery and drunkenness will not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 about verse 21, when Paul was talking about abuses connected with the Lord's Supper, he said one has his own supper, one is hungry, and one is drunken. Galatians chapter 5 about verse 21, Paul talked about the fact, as I've told you in time before and told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And in that list was drunkenness. Drunkenness will cause one to be disinherited. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, it said, be not drunken with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Revelation chapter 21 about verse 1, when the Bible talks about the judgment of the kings of the earth and the judgment of the great whore, it said that the king of the earth have committed fornication with the great whore, and the nations are drunk with the wine of her fornication. So when we look at the preponderance of evidence, we see that being drunk ain't a good thing. Is that all right? You cannot be at your best if you're drunk. You can't be at a optimum mental state if you're drunk. You shouldn't drive a car if you're drunk. Hello, lights. You shouldn't drive a bus if you're drunk. You shouldn't fly a plane, Denzel, if you're drunk. You shouldn't operate heavy machinery if you're drunk. You shouldn't make a critical life-changing decision if you're drunk. Hello? And you shouldn't be preaching if you're drunk. You shouldn't be teaching if you're drunk. Is that all right? The Bible doesn't say anything good about drunkenness. It's not a good thing. Amen. And I want to tell you that these preachers, they were accused of being drunk. Talking to a preacher one day, he called me, he said, "Brother Miles." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "There's a preacher in Houston that was drunk." I said, "Is that right?" "Yes." I said, "Well, sometimes the members will make you drink." Hello, I ain't justifying it. I'm just telling it like it is. Is that all right? He shouldn't have been drunk, but he was drunk. So in this lesson today, brothers and sisters, I want you to see two ideas. Number one, I want you to see a preacher that got drunk. Because in the Bible, there was a preacher that got drunk. Did you know that? Well, you ought to know it now because Brother Jeremy read it. He was a preacher. He got drunk. And then the second point is they were filled, but not with intoxicants. They were filled, but not with intoxicants. God Almighty Himself has created the job of preacher. God created the job, the office, the vocation, the calling of a preacher. The preacher has a great role and a great assignment in this world. And God Himself has created that job because it pleased God Almighty by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So God has a great investment tied up in preaching. In the book of Romans, it says, "How can they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher?" So God has invested a great deal in preaching. And the preacher is not to preach his opinion. He is not to preach current events. He is not to preach the latest headlines, but he is to preach what thus saith the Lord. Because I tell you, so much good could be done if we preach the word. Yes, people's lives could get blessed if we just preach the word. Because this world, this word can do so much in this world. Can you imagine this world without the word? Wouldn't this be a mess? It's already messed up, y'all. But wouldn't it really be messed up if we live in this dark, sin-cursed, benighted world and there was no word in this world? And so the preacher should speak what thus saith the Lord. Amen. And there are some notable preachers in the Bible. Amen. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Solomon, the son of David, is described in the book of Ecclesiastes as the preacher. He is one who speaks to an assembly. Jonah was a preacher, but he was a reluctant preacher. God told him to go down to Nineveh and cry against that city and tell him in 40 days and 40 nights I'm going to overthrow Nineveh. And Jonah was the only preacher I know who got mad because somebody responded to the invitation. Is that all right? The whole city repented and Jonah got mad. He was the hesitant or reluctant preacher. And then there was John the Baptist. He was a preacher. He is described as a voice of one crying in the wilderness. "Prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight." God only had one son, only one begotten son, and he was a preacher. Is that all right? The Son of God was a preacher. He came preaching the gospel. And according to Acts chapter 2, these 12 men who stood up on the day of Pentecost were preachers. And then God even took the man who is the self-described chief of sinners and turned him into a preacher. God, first of all, he saved him. He saved him first of all. See, first of all, God got to get you saved. Then he washed away all of his sins. And then God empowered him and strengthened him to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is that all right? But let's go a little further. When we look at Noah, and one thing about it, if you don't want the truth, because the Bible doesn't sugarcoat it, then if you don't want the truth, then I would suggest to you that you don't read the Bible. Because the Bible tells it just like it is. Now, if you don't want the word of God, then keep the Bible closed. Is that right? Well, the Bible talks about the good part of Noah's life. And we all can say this morning that I got some good qualities. Can't you say that? Yeah, you got some good. You're not perfect, but you got some good qualities. When you say, I'm really not a bad person. I'm kind of misunderstood, but y'all gonna talk to me. but I'm really not a bad person. That right? Well, Noah was a God-fearing, God-believing man. And the man lived such a model life that in a world that was corrupt and sold out to sin, the Bible said that Noah found favor in the eyes of God. And so after God warned him about things that were going to happen, about a great flood that was coming, the Bible said that Noah's faith, he lived by faith. His faith stirred him and it moved him to construct or to build an ark, which became the instrument for the salvation of his house. And by this exemplary action, Noah is described as, number one, he condemned the world. That is, Noah was doing what everybody else should have been doing. Everybody in this world ought to be obeying God. Everybody's not doing it. But everybody ought to be in church this morning, worshiping God and serving him. But everybody not doing it. That is still what they ought to be doing. And also it said Noah became the heir of righteousness. That is, he became the beneficiary of the benefits of righteousness. I want to tell you something. Serving God going to pay off for you. If you can just hang in there and hold on, you got a great reward coming to you. Do you believe that? I'm telling you, this is not in vain. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, what? Always abounding, where? In the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor in God is not in vain. But also we read about the bad part about Noah. The Bible said that Noah was a man of the ground. He was a husbandman. He was a farmer. And before the great flood, Noah was a man of the ground, a farmer. He tilled the ground. And Noah one day planted a vineyard or a vineyard. And in that vineyard, Noah raised grapes. And Noah made him some wine. I said the preacher made him some wine. Huh? If y'all saw the preacher at Winn-Dixie with some wine in his basket, you'd have a fit, wouldn't you? Y'all didn't send that no neck. Praise God. But I'm telling you that Noah was a preacher. He had a vineyard. And he said he would taste the wine. And Noah got drunk. He was a preacher that got drunk. And he was so inebriated or intoxicated that Noah lay in his tent uncovered. You see, alcohol will take away your reasoning capabilities. In fact, when you get to drinking alcohol, you will say things you probably wouldn't normally do. You will do things. Hello? Am I right? Y'all, we're getting quiet on this. Amen. Getting too close to home. Praise God. And then Noah was lying in his tent, uncovered, naked. There is some discussion about what actually happened when his son Ham came in. But this was a blemish on the record of a righteous man. Let me tell you something. Righteous folks can get in trouble too. It doesn't mean just because you go to church every Sunday don't mean you can't get in trouble. The devil has some waiting on you. You just got through singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." Now you find yourself in a mess. Is that all right? Sometimes righteous folks can make the wrong turn. Sometimes righteous folks can do the wrong things. Then Noah was lying in his tent, intoxicated, inebriated. A preacher of righteousness who had stood so boldly and so magnificently and told the people that a flood was coming and saved his house. That's exemplary. And yet the Bible, which doesn't sugarcoat it, tells us he was drunk. Amen. Now I come to the New Testament. Acts chapter 2. And we find on the day of Pentecost. Amen. Some great events were taking place. Jews from all over the world, Pamphylia, Phrygia, Cappadocia, strangers about Asia and Cyrene. People from all over the world were there for this great feast. And suddenly, there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting, and cloven tongues like as a fire set upon the apostles, these preachers. And they began to speak the words of God in different languages. Not all this syllabic, nonsensical stuff you hear next to me. I'm speaking in tongues. A tongue in the Bible is a language. It is a unit of communication. They began to speak in different languages. And when the people heard the sound of the wind and they saw the miracle, they began to try to figure out what's going on here. They said, "What meaneth this?" They were puzzled. They were at a loss. They were trying to figure out what was going on. They heard this wind. They saw these men that were Galileans speaking fluently in languages they had not even studied. And then it says there were the mockers. You know, when I was growing up, I didn't really understand the word. But when I was small, I would say, "Mama, they mocked me." What I was trying to say, they were mocking me. Y'all been mocked? You ever been when the joke was on you? Everybody laughing but you? But I learned you better go and laugh with them to get them off you. If they see you getting mad, they're gonna sure enough laugh at you. So you make a joke, you make a joke of it. And they'll soon let you alone. But it says that there were the mockers. You're gonna always have people who are gonna make fun and discredit sacred and spiritual things. You're going to always have people who are going to try to discredit things that are powerful and profound. And they begin to say, as they tried to give an explanation, Sister Johnson, they begin to say that these men that are speaking these languages are filled with new wine. What does that mean? New wine was wine that was very sweet, but it was very intoxicating. It tastes good, but it'll sure enough get you high. Y'all all right? It tastes good, but it would rock your world. New wine. If new wine was kept for over a year, it really was intoxicating. So what the marker said, you're going to always have people going to try to discredit you. If you're doing something worthwhile, somebody's going to always got to talk down on it. If you talk about what you want to do, oh, you can't do that. How you know what I can do? Is that all right? You're going to always have people who are going to always have nothing good to say about nobody. Amen. And when you're around people who are always talking down, excuse yourself and keep moving. Praise God. And then Peter corrected them. He said, "You men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, hearken unto my words." He said, "These men are not drunk, as ye suppose, as you're trying to say. There was a preacher that got drunk, but these 12 preachers who stood up to preach on Pentecost were not drunk." Now just think for a moment. If they could have convinced the crowd on Pentecost that the men were drunk, what if the people had bought into the idea that the men were drunk? That would have discredited the occasion as well as their message. Is that right? But Peter said, "These men are not drunk as ye suppose." He says, "Seeing it is but the third hour of the day." According to Roman time, that's about 9 o'clock. And what he was saying was something that was understood, that no Jew on Pentecost ever ate or drank anything before 9 o'clock. So Peter said, "It's really too early. They ain't opened the saloon yet." Is that all right? Nobody is drunk. No one eats or drinks before 9 a.m. Now, they were filled, church, but not with intoxicants. But they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled not with new wine, but with power that came from on high. They were filled not with intoxicant, but with new meaning and new power and new insight. Yes, they were filled, but they weren't drunk. Is that all right? But they were filled, praise be unto Jehovah, with the Spirit of God. Amen. And they began to share the message of salvation. Is that all right? Aren't you glad about these preachers? Let me give you some reasons why we ought to listen to them. Do you not know there's a lot of folks out there preaching? Who you listen to? Farrakhan is preaching. Jakes is preaching. Moss is preaching. Clark is preaching. White is preaching. Dollar. There are a lot of folks out there. And guess what? All of them ain't saying the same thing. That right? May I give you some reasons why we should listen to these 12 preachers? Jesus had said that Peter was going to be a rock. And on Pentecost, he was a rock as he soared with eloquence and power, as he proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ on the day of Pentecost. Peter wasn't weak-kneed, he was strong. He stood up and said, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, hearken to my words. You're not witnessing drunkenness. It's not a matter of intoxication. It is not a matter of inebriation. It is a matter of revelation. Listen to my words. You're not witnessing drunkenness. You are witnessing the unfolding of prophecy. It's right before your eyes. Sometimes God blesses you to see something so great and you can't even understand what's going on until it's after it's over with. May I give you some reasons why we should hear these? Number one, because they spoke in the authority of Jesus Christ. Now, after Jesus was crucified, he was buried, and he rose again 3 days later with the keys of death and hell swinging around his waist. The Lord then stood on resurrection ground and made an earth-shattering, earth-moving announcement. He said, all authority in heaven and in earth is given unto me. Now, the only reason the gospel has global justification or legitimacy, I want to say that again. The only reason the gospel has global justification or legitimacy is because Jesus Christ has all authority in heaven and in earth. He is the newly exalted and coronated Messiah. He's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. The whole universe is under his authority. And he's proven can't nobody do nothing with him because he conquered death. Here's a man who says that if you kill me, Lord, have mercy. In 3 days, I'll take my life up again. That's why I believe in him. 3 days, Wes. And Lord, they drove nails in his hand. Put nails in his feet. Put a crown of thorns on his head. Pierce him in the side. And he died on that cross. Took him down, wrapped him in linen, put spices and scents on his body, wrapped grave clothes around his face, put him in a grave, sealed it, put a Roman watch, and he lay in that grave dead for 3 days. And then, on the third day, life came back into his body. He got up from death, unwrapped that napkin around his face. Yeah, he took that napkin off his face, unwrapped them grave clothes, Sam White. And then he took the time and folded them. He folded them, Brother Ben, and laid them down. You know, the Lord is always neat. Is that all right? And then an angel rolled the stone away. And the triumphant Lord walked out of the grave. Never. Y'all didn't hear me. Never. Did y'all hear that? Never. I don't think. Never. I don't think. Never to die again. And he stood on resurrection ground and said, all authority in heaven and in earth is given unto me. And this is the only reason why the gospel has global justification or legitimacy. And so now on Pentecost, these 12 men who are not drunk are preaching by his authority. And they are, I want you to get the very important point, they are infallible speakers and preachers. What does that mean? It means, Tina, they can't mislead you. So what they're saying is absolutely correct. Now, I want to show you why. Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 13. Look at verse 9. Mark chapter 13. Look at verse number 9. Here's why they are infallible. We'll start with verse 9. Listen to this. What he says. But take heed to yourself, talking to the apostles. For they shall deliver you up to councils in the synagogue. You shall be beaten and shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. It's global in its justification. It's global in its legitimacy. It's global in its outreach. Tell it everywhere. Look at verse 11. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak. Now, in preparing this message, I had to do a little thinking about it before I got up here. I had to meditate, memorize, organize, collate. That's the word Sister Rhymer used, collate. Praise God. Amen. Take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate. Why? But for whatsoever shall be given to you in that hour, that shall you speak. That speak ye rather. For it is not ye that speak, but. That's why they infallible, because God on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2 says, and they begin to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so what they said, God was speaking through them. Is that right? And that's why they are infallible. They're not drunk. They ain't had no new wine. They're filled, but not with intoxicants. A second reason why we should hear them is because they are 12 men with one message. They are 12 men with one message. They don't contradict each other. They stay on message. Is that right? We should hear them because they didn't, preachers today aren't preaching the same thing. Some say you got to be baptized. Some say you don't. You part of what I'm saying? Some say the church of your choice. Some say the church of Christ. And I'm telling you that we must hear them because they were 12 men with one message. 12 men with one message. A third reason we should hear them because they are the servants of the Most High God, and they speak unto us the way of salvation. They are the servants of the Most High God, and they speak unto us the way of salvation. A fourth reason we should hear them is because all teaching must be measured by what they said. Because God spoke through them and in them. And if you want to know the truth, the way you determine truth from error, you compare what they taught and what they preached with what's being taught and being preached today. And if what is being taught and preached today contradicts what they taught, that is error, because God spoke through them. Brother White, get from here. 1 John 4:6, quickly. 1 John 4:6, as we conclude. We are of God. Talking about the apostles. He that knoweth God, heareth us. He is not of God, heareth not us. By this you know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. They were not drunk. They were not filled with intoxicants, but they were filled with the Spirit. Let me tell you this. They taught there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's what they taught. They got it right. Amen. I said they got it right. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body. The body is the church. Church is the body. So it's one church. Is that all right? And you ought to be in that one church. You can read about where? In the Bible. Because why? They got it right. Is that right? So you can't go wrong if you follow them. Now, in conclusion, let me tell you this. There are a lot of people preaching today like they're drunk. Did you hear what I said? I think I said something right there. I said a lot of preachers are preaching today like they're drunk. They're all over the place with the word. Hello? A lot of preachers are doing some reckless preaching. They're doing some reckless teaching. You know what a reckless driver will do? You ever been on the freeway and somebody come over in your lane? What you do? First thing you do, you get mad, don't you? Get over, bump, bump, get over. Ain't that what you do? Remember, Earl, I was heading out of town to do a meeting in Montgomery. And man, I'm just driving, enjoying the scenery, listening to my Temptation tape. Y'all wasn't waiting on that, was you? Yeah, listen to my Temptation tape, Janet. And man, some Mexicans. And I ain't got nothing against Mexicans. But it just happened to be Mexican that day. Man came over on me. I said, Grady, I'm going to get killed before I get out of Birmingham. Is that all right? And I'm telling you, there are some preachers and some teachers who are preaching like they are drunk. They're teaching like they're drunk. They are reckless preachers. They are taking liberties with God's word that they should not be taking. They are tampering with God's word. Amen. And let me give you in conclusion. I want to do a little reading with you. I want to give you some warning from God's word about tampering with his word. First of all, Brother Wyatt, give me Deuteronomy 4:2. Then I'm on Proverbs 36. Then I'm on 2 Peter 3:15 and 16. Then I'm on Revelation 22:18 and 19. I know you got all that. You got it? Yeah, see that? I told you he had it. And if you ain't got it, Phyllis got it. She said, no, she ain't. Deuteronomy 4:2, let's read that first one. Let's do it quickly. Come on. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you subtract from it. Whenever you diminish some, that you make it less. Read, Brother Wyatt. Out from it, that you may keep the commands of the Lord your God that I command you. So when people are adding to God's word and taking from God's word, they are preaching like they're drunk. They're doing reckless preaching and reckless driving. You know, some folks just can't drive. Y'all better come on talk to me. And you don't want to ride with nobody can't drive, do you? Well, who driving? Who? No, ain't. I ain't riding with him. No. You on the freeway, you getting off on the exit, on the entrance ramp. Well, you ought to be exiting, you entering. That's a mess, isn't it, Brother Wyatt? Proverbs 36 says what? Let's look at that one quickly. 36. Read it. Add thou not to his word, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. I tell you, some preachers are preaching like they're drunk today. They're teaching like they're drunk today. But I tell you, these preachers were not drunk. Is that all right? Let's go now to the New Testament. 2 Peter 3:15 and 16. I'm having these read because it's important to have them read. I want you to see them. Amen. Is that all right? Amen, church. Read, Brother Wyatt. 16. Read it. As also all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, some things hard to be understood, because they are that are unlearned, unstable. Rest means the torture. If somebody had your arm and put it behind your back and told you, if you don't tell what I say, I'm going to break your arm, you'll say what they want to. Huh? You get a twist in your arm and they'll be, hey, wait a minute. Okay, all right. Uncle. Is that all right? Come on, Bro Wyatt.
As they do also.
The other scripture. They preach like they're drunk. They teach like they're drunk. But I tell you, these preachers on the day of Pentecost, Sister Johnson, they were not drunk. Come on. Until their own destruction. Come on, Bro Wyatt. Is that at verse 17? Well, let's go now to Revelation 22, 18 and 19 as we conclude. And I'm having these scriptures read to show you that there are some people who are preaching and teaching like they're drunk. They're adding to God's word. They're taking from God's word. But these preachers in Acts 2 were not drunk. They're not teaching like they're drunk. If somebody's telling you that some God has commanded you to do, you don't have to do. He's preaching and teaching like he's drunk. Read, Brother Wyatt. For I testify, every man, words of this prophecy, this book, any man, doesn't matter who he is, any man shall add unto what? These things, any man, doesn't matter who he is, God doesn't care about who a person is. He's God all by himself. But if any man, come on, shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues, the penalty that are written in this book. 19. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of that holy city. And from the thing which are written in this book. And let me leave you with this. If the blind lead the blind, Sister Smith, they both shall fall into the ditch. Is that right? You shouldn't follow a drunk preacher. You shouldn't follow a drunk teacher. Is that right? But instead, you ought to follow them 12 preachers stood on the day of Pentecost. I know they were accused of being drunk, but I tell you, they were not drunk. Is that all right? Yes, you got to be sober. You got to be vigilant. Because the devil, as a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour. The devil wants to get you drunk. Is that all right? The devil will make you drink too much. Is that all right? The devil will have you drinking when you ought to be praying. I wish I had some help here. Is that all right? The devil wants you drunk mentally. The devil wants you drunk, yeah, physically. The devil, Lord have mercy, wants you drunk emotionally. And the devil, yes, indeed, wants you drunk spiritually. Is that all right? But I hear God saying, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Is that all right? If you're going to be filled this morning, don't be filled with intoxicants, but be filled with the Word of God. Is that all right? Because there's something about the Word of God. But by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He spake, and it was. He commanded, and it stood fast. Is that all right? I tell you, there's something about the word of God. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Is that all right? There's something about the word of God. David said, it's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Is that all right? There's something about the word of God. I hear Isaiah say, as the rain and the snow cometh down from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, causeth to bring forth and bud, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I plead, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Is that all right? There's something about the word of God, for it's living and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Is that all right? There's something about the word of God. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of my God endures forever. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. I tell you, there's something about the word of God. Somebody ought to say, I'm ready to handle God's word right. Somebody say, I'm ready to teach God's word right. Somebody say, I'm ready to receive God's word right. Because there's something, oh yes, there's something about the word of God. Is that all right? And it's in a class all by itself. Is that all right? And if you receive it, it will. I said it will save your soul. Would you stand, please? That's the message. These preachers were not drunk. Hello? Jimmy the Greek. Remember Jimmy the Greek? And Jimmy the Greek had been at the bar and was feeling mellow. Come on, y'all. And them folks put that microphone in Jimmy's face. And Jimmy said something he probably wouldn't have said, but he had had a few drinks. Hello? You might say something you ain't got no business saying. Can't get no amen. Thank you, Brother Wack. Amen. But I tell you, these preachers were not drunk. What did they say you have to do to be saved? They said five things. You must hear the gospel. You want to go to heaven? You must believe it. You must repent of your sins, Acts 17:30. You must confess Christ. You want to be saved? You serious about salvation? At what point you gonna move on it? What you waiting on? You want to be saved? If Marilyn cooked dinner, so Earl is ready. Or maybe Earl cooked it, I don't know. And said, so Marilyn is ready. Marilyn ain't going to keep lollygagging around. She going to come in. That right? That's right. I'm telling you, the water is ready. What you waiting on? Is that all right? And then if you want to be saved, these preachers say you got to be baptized in water. Not sprinkled, not poured. You got to be baptized. They weren't drunk. You got to be baptized in water for the. And then you don't join the church of your choice. God adds you to the church of his choice, which is a church you read about in his word. And I'm telling you, these preachers were not drunk. If the Lord was coming to town and you needed his help, and he passed you by, wouldn't you feel bad? So you ought to say, pass me not. But instead, don't pass up this opportunity to be saved. Because what you can do right now might not be able to do next week. Is that all right? So the day you hear the Lord's voice through the Holy Spirit is the day you should respond. I've told you what to do. In behalf of my Lord and my Savior, I invite you to heaven. Amen. Pass me not, O gentle sake. Why don't you hear my cry? You know that why on earth is dark or cold. Oh, do not pass me. I'm calling you. Oh, why don't you hear my humble cry? You know that why on earth or cork. Oh, do not pass me. You may be seated.